My name is Jack Davies. I'm going to be interviewing Patricia Milliron, who was a Peace Corps volunteer, Fiji Group 2, during the years of late 68 through 80.
Through 70.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's start this over. Scratch. Okay. We got good volumes. Check, check.
Good.
All right. Beginning again. My name is Jack Davies. I was a returned Peace Corps volunteer from the Fiji Islands from 1978 through 80. Today I'm interviewing Patricia Milliron. I'll call her Pat. And she was a secondary school teacher at Nandi College on the western side of the main island of Fiji from 1969 through 70. And she started her training actually in Hawaii in 1968. How are you this morning, Pat?
I'm good.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for inviting me to your home. I've got a lovely place here. I can see some influence from Fiji. And it was delightful meeting your husband, and you can tell us about that later. So I'm just going to lead you through a few questions. We'll talk about what you did before Peace Corps, what you did during the Peace Corps, and what you're doing now. So the usual question is, why did you join the Peace Corps? Tell me about your upbringing, your influences, and anything else that might have helped prepare you for Fiji.
Well, I came into the Peace Corps from college, or a few months after college, and I think I don't have much idea about what interested me from my background from it. My family was interested in people, so that might have helped some. I think I heard about it in college. I think I was young and idealistic. I think that I applied while I was still at College of William and Mary in Virginia, and my recollection is that I spent the summer after I graduated trying to figure out why I wasn't being called for the Peace Corps. I had wanted to go to South America and learn Spanish. I thought that would be a useful language to learn. And eventually I made phone calls to the Peace Corps trying to find out why I hadn't heard anything. And I don't remember all the ins and outs, except that eventually somebody listened to me, but I got sent to Fiji and learned Hindustani instead of being sent to South America and learning Spanish. So in retrospect, that was a really good thing for me because I grew up in a partly segregated household in Delaware, or not household, but community. And I probably would not have intentionally gone into a country where race relations were an issue, which they were in 69 and 70 when I went to Fiji. So it was a very good lesson to learn for me in going there, but it wasn't where I wanted to go, and I didn't want to teach secondary school, which is what I ended up teaching. So there were a lot of things I didn't want to do that turned out to be very good in my life.
And did you know anything about Fiji before you went?
Nothing.
Did you know where it was?
Probably not. I don't remember now, but probably not.
Most people would say we're very lucky to go to Fiji.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And tell me about your educational background. What did you study, and what do you specialize in that was appropriate for Fiji?
Well, I think when I was hoping to go to South America, I wanted to be involved in social programs and probably programs with children, or in any case, I didn't want to teach. But what I studied in college was biology, primarily plant biology, even though the degree had to be a general biology degree. And so that's, I think, why I got picked up for Fiji, because they were looking for science teachers. Mm. So I taught in a secondary school, and I taught English as well as biology, but they wanted science teachers in Fiji at the time.
Uh-huh. You mentioned you did your training in Hawaii. What was that like?
Oh, golly. Well, we met first in Southern California, but after, I don't remember, a short period of time, and some choosing people not to go and choosing people to go into training, we went to Molokai, and that was a fairly remote place at that time. And it poured a lot of rain, which it does in Fiji, so that probably helped prepare us. They brought Hindustani and Fijian-speaking people from Fiji to teach us language in Hawaii. We had over 100 people in our training group, which is really different from what I think they're doing today. So there were a lot of us there in an old school that they used as a place for us to have to live. I remember a couple of things. One was that one of our members went hiking or climbing and fell and did not return and died. And that was a very traumatic experience for the whole group to go through, to not know where he was and then to finally find his body. And then somewhere around Christmas or New Year's, we had a big pig, whatever.
A lovo.
Lovo there. And since I was in the Hindustani program, I hadn't learned a lot about that, but it was a big event to be away from your family at Christmas time and to go have that in spite of all the rain.
So you said Hindustani. So what language did you speak?
I was taught Hindustani.
Okay.
But I was expected to teach in English. That was the goal, to be taught. So I didn't use Hindustani a lot, and when I did, the kids thought it was hilarious. But mostly I spoke English and taught English at the secondary school.
And you were teaching Indian students or Fijian students?
Mostly Indian.
Okay.
Nandi College was a mostly Indian school, and it was the head teacher or principal was Indian. But there were some Fijian kids, and there were some mixed race kids, and there were Chinese mixed race kids, but mostly Hindustani.
Uh-huh. Can you tell me a little bit more about the culture of these kids?
You mean the kids that I taught?
Let's use those as probably the closest example.
Well, let's see.
Where do they come from? What are their homes like?
I did visit a few homes. I didn't go to a lot of homes. I think the Fijian kids lived along the rivers in villages. The Indian kids lived in some villages, and they also, had families that lived in town. It seemed to me that they they worked hard to pay the fees for the kids to be able to go to school. I can remember, and I don't know that that was Hindustani or Fijian, but that, I went to visit somebody and I got the only chair in the house at the time, which was kind of, you felt bad to get the only chair in the house to sit in, And I did visit one of our Chinese Fijian families several times, so they had a little store out in the country in the cane fields, and they became good friends. But I didn't spend a lot of time out with student families. I had a roommate, another Peace Corps roommate, the first year. The second year I lived alone in apartments. And so we became very close friends with the owners of the apartment complex, which was quite small. And I searched for it when we went back for the Habitat for Humanity project a few years ago with one of my students whom I was able to find. And she was, it didn't look very much like what I remembered it, so she was trying to help me find where I had lived. It was an apartment. It was, I'm sure, entirely different from what my kids were living in. It was more for the white folk apartment type thing. But I was very close to the, I called them mommy and my mom, our uncle and aunt that owned the complex, and she let me use her treadle sewing machine so that I could make clothes for myself. So I remember that. Yeah.
Well, so you mentioned you got the only chair. Where did the rest of the family sit?
Well, they either stood or sat on the floor, I suppose. I don't remember very much about that. I suppose I was startled that there was only one chair in the place. So. Mm-hmm.
Were there Fijian mats on the floor in an Indian house?
I don't remember.
Yeah, in the villages, they sit on Fiji mats and drink out of bowls and eat with their fingers. Yeah. Was the Indian household like that?
I don't remember eating at that household. I did go to several weddings, Indian weddings, and we did eat with our fingers
Tell me about those, because I've seen some. They're very interesting.
Yes, well, I think I only went to a piece of them. You know, it wasn't days long,
Oh, yes.
but brides usually wore a red or dark pink or something, and I didn't have a much idea of what they were saying, but there was lots of good food usually. That's what I remember. Yeah, and I would get sometimes to wear a sari to those, which was really fun to do.
Oh,
So
sorry, that's a wraparound.
the clothing that Indian women, some Indian women wear, or salwar and kameez, but I usually wear a sari to weddings. So
Okay. Do you have any idea what their reaction to you was? Because you were one of the first Fiji groups. Were you well
Well,
accepted?
I think I was well accepted, yes. And I can remember my reaction in that we had a picture taken, which I still have, of the teachers of Nandi College together. We and would do that once a year, and how startled I was to see myself as the only white person in that picture, and how different I looked from everybody else in the picture. Like,
Oh.
everybody else is dark and I'm white, but I had no sense of that when I was just me being with the kids,
So
you
you were
know.
in the minority, huh?
I was in the minority,
Yeah.
yes.
Although there were other Europeans, or no?
Not at the college, no. There were, let's see, let me think. There were Indian teachers. Was there anybody else? No, I think I was the only person of a different race there.
Yeah, do you think they knew the difference between you being a white American and some of the white volunteers from New Zealand or Australia or England?
I'm not sure they'd had experience with those people, so I
Okay.
don't know, other than as tourists
All
downtown, you
right.
know. I don't know that they would have had the personal relationship that we developed over 2 years. So, yeah.
It seemed to me it was sort of a colonial attitude towards the Europeans. When I was out in the villages, but I was treated with great respect. But like
Oh,
you,
yeah.
if there was a chair, I got it.
Yeah,
But I'd rather
yeah.
sit on the floor on the mats, and drink kava. Did you ever drink kava?
Only once or twice.
Okay.
Yeah, it was not my favorite. I was really glad not to have to drink it much.
Would you care to explain what kava is?
Well, kava is a drink made from a pepper plant of some sort that is ground and mixed with water that Fijians drink in ceremony. And other people they can invite to drink it if you're sitting in the circle, but it's not a cultural thing for Hindustani or Chinese people to drink like it is for Fijian people. So.
Yeah, thank you. So tell me about the specific job that you had. You said you were a teacher. What subjects did you teach?
I taught biology and English. I think I taught a health science one time. I did not teach the highest level. I taught like 9th grade and 11th grade, which went to 10th and 12th, the second year of English and biology. But there was another, let's see, she was German and Fijian. German, no, German and Indian woman who taught the highest levels of biology and English there, who was a very close friend of mine. And I enjoyed her friendship and her home with her parents. She lived with her parents. There was a lot I didn't know about Judy at the time that I've tried to find out a little bit about.
Are you still in touch with her?
Well, she's died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I learned that when we were trying to go back for the Habitat for Humanity project, because a Fijian woman volunteered to help us find old friends while we were there. She found out that Judy had died. Judy did come to the United States once, and I got to pick her up at the airport and take her for a, let's see, a Friends National Conference in Seattle, and it warmed my heart. I had been working on peace issues and non-nuclear proliferation issues in Bellingham at the time, and I found out that Judy had been working on those projects in
Oh.
Fiji since I had seen her, which was very heartwarming. But she died of I'm not sure what, but not under good circumstances.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
As I remember, Fiji was a nuclear-free zone.
Yeah. And we were working on that in Bellingham, which is
Oh,
what was
okay.
so special about that.
Great. So you told us a little bit about your work in the classroom. What did you do on your days off?
What did I do on days off? Well, often I went to market, which is kind of interesting because I go to farmer's market here now. So you didn't like having to dicker over prices, but we often did for the fresh fruits and vegetables. And so that was usually a Saturday kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Did you speak in Hindustani?
I don't remember. I probably tried, but some some of the vendors probably were Fijian too, so I wouldn't have been able to know much to say to them. Yeah. I think I worked a lot on preparing lessons on the weekend as well.
Okay.
So, because I was teaching like at least three different classes, if not five, so there was a lot to prepare.
And that was your first job out of college?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have any time to take a vacation and get away from Fiji? If so, where did you go?
While I was there, no, mm-hmm. I didn't.
So you spent your vacation time there?
In Fiji, and we, at least between our first and second year, we had some kind of a conference in Suva that everybody went to during that time off from teaching. So that was one highlight, anyway, of seeing everybody that we hadn't seen for months. So
do you think teaching in Fiji was similar to teaching in the U.S.?
Well, not compared to today, anyway, but maybe then. I don't know enough about my father and mother were teachers, but
They
did a lot of work at home, so I suppose in some ways it could have been. And the friendships with students, which you had to be careful about, but which were, of course, the precious part of being there. I'm sure my dad was friends with his students, but it's hard. It's too long ago to remember to be able to recall that.
Because we were grassroots ambassadors.
Yes. Something went through my mind that I can't just now. I'll have to come back to it.
Maybe one of the students that you got close with?
Well, I did get... Ram Rajan and Nirmala were favorites in the older group, and she brought me lunch every day.
Oh, nice.
Which veggies with a roti and...
Curry?
Yes. I was really spoiled with that. When I went back to Fiji for the Habitat Project, I was able to find her, and they had gotten married, and they had actually had a child, which was I knew was difficult from communicating early with them. And she made me roti and veggies again.
Nice.
And it was very nice, yeah. Uh-huh.
And did you continue to correspond with her after you left Fiji?
A little bit, not very much. We lost touch after a long time, and so I had gotten an email a couple times from Ram Rajan. He certainly probably has a bigger lifestyle than we have these days. He's a business person now. And so I had tried to Google and see if I could find him when we went back. And I wrote a letter to the address of his business and didn't get any answer. So I didn't know how to deal with that. Well, while we were in Fiji doing the Habitat Project, he got the letter that I had written and called Habitat in Suva and said, we're here, we want to see you. So it worked out in the end, although I didn't see. So that was very gratifying.
And you were building homes for Habitat?
Well, we were supposed to be. It didn't quite work that way, but we got close.
Oh, that's good. So looking back at your tour of service, what were your main accomplishments, would you say?
Well, for me personally, and this is something I've thought about off and on quite a bit, it was not a U.S. accomplishment. It was a personal accomplishment. I think the United States wanted to send people overseas to influence other countries, to say that we're good people in spite of the Vietnamese War or whatever. And for me, and to rah-rah the United States, well, for me, that was not the result. The result was I felt like an international citizen after being in Fiji. I no longer felt like a United States citizen. I felt like I was a person of the world and appreciated the world and the different people and cultures that were there. And I don't know whether that was a U.S. goal, but that's what happened to me. I did not come home rah-rahing the United States. I came home grateful for the people who had given me so much while I was there.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I think that is one of the goals, is to bring back an understanding of people of other cultures. Yeah. So here you are telling me all about Fiji in the early days. Because even in my time, we didn't have TV.
No.
Telephones were very limited. No. Roads were all gravel. Yeah. Electricity in the towns, but not in the villages.
Not in the villages. Yeah,
and certainly no air conditioning.
No.
Well,
I can remember that as one little fun memory with my roommate the first year, that it was so hot and muggy. We came home from school and it was just hanging heavy, and it eventually rained. And we went out in the little compound where we lived and danced in the rain because we were so glad it rained and we were so hot. And, and our mommy just laughed at us dancing in the rain outside.
So. Uh-huh. Nice. Well, you mentioned the goals of the Peace Corps. So the first is to provide technical assistance when requested, which you did
with
as a teacher.
Teaching, yeah. Uh-huh. And I don't think they send teachers anymore. I think I have read that they feel like their training and their teachers are adequate now, that they want other help, but not teaching help I understand. I don't know whether that's true.
Uh-huh. Well, my wife was also a biology and botany teacher there in Fiji. Mm. That's where we met, and then we got married later. Was that common? Did many of the couples develop relationships either with other Americans or with the Fijians?
I don't know whether common is the right word, but it did happen. I mean, we had a big group where there were still over 100 people when we went. Well, so we had, I know that one couple in this picture, I'm getting too close to the microphone, got married. They were both in, one of the islands to the south.
Kandava, maybe?
They were on separate ends of the island, and they eventually married and are still together.
Oh.
And several couples went already married, and there are, I believe there were a few that married people from Fiji, but I don't remember now who or how many, so.
Okay. Yeah, well, the national language is English, so at least you would have that common denominator. But any regrets or failures, if I might ask?
Huh. I think mostly gratitude.
Great. That's wonderful. Yeah, because it is mostly people to people. And obviously you promoted a better understanding of what Americans are, even though it wasn't necessarily intentionally to be a diplomat. But so throughout the years, have you had other involvements? You mentioned the Habitat for Humanity. You mentioned staying in touch with a few people. Any other kind of activities?
Certainly not very much. I have nominally belonged to Friends of Fiji, but they're on the East Coast mostly, and I'm on the West Coast. So, you know, I follow what they do. I gave them a gorgeous sari that I had that I couldn't wear anymore, or I hadn't ever really worn, and other things to sell. But I'm certainly not involved with Friends of Fiji very much. I have been able to get in touch again with the woman who was my first year roommate, who lives in Texas now. And so we are communicating more frequently than we have in years, which I'm thrilled about. And our group had a 50th reunion last October for our time of going into training in California and Hawaii. So I did remember some of those people who went to the reunion. And the Habitat for Humanity project was not a Fiji 2 project. It was a 50th anniversary of
the Peace Corps itself.
The Peace Corps itself, I think. So it was a few years ago. And so there were, 6 of us from Fiji 2 that went, which we were the best representative of all the groups who went. And I was very grateful for that. Somebody I don't remember his name now, organized it, and it took a long time to organize people from different Fiji groups going and all the stuff that had to be prepared in order to work with Habitat for Humanity. But I wanted to go back to Fiji, and I did not want to go alone, so it was a really wonderful experience, and I probably couldn't do it physically now, so I'm really grateful we did it when we did it, and I got to see, friends that I remembered. So
that's great. So we kind of jumped over when you left Fiji and came back to the States. First of all, how did you feel about leaving?
Oh, golly. I remember not wanting to come home. That I felt like my values had changed so much that I didn't know how to fit in at home. And
culture shock?
Yeah, a lot of culture shock. I arrived in Baltimore's airport. I mean, I spent a few days in Hawaii with a friend who was in Fiji but not a Peace Corps person. And she and I tried to use that time to get used to the U.S. again a little. And then I flew into Baltimore right before Christmas and was wearing sandals and a cotton dress and really dreading, in a sense, seeing my family who loved me dearly, who wrote to me every week, who, you know, kept me there. There was no phone calling, nothing like that. So a letter a week from your family was very precious.
What were you afraid of?
I wasn't afraid. I didn't really want to deal with where the United States was versus where I was.
Anticipation of,
So I had some months at home, and I knew from college days that I wanted to work for the National Park Service. So while I was in Hawaii in training, I was able to take the test that was required back in 1969, 68, to get into federal service. And so I had taken that test and done well enough that I was lucky to get into the Park Service. They were looking for women. I had worked for the Peace Corps, so I got into the National Park Service training program, about 4 months after I got home, I guess.
Okay. Well, I met your husband, Alan. You want to tell us a little bit about how you met him?
Oh, well, that was years later. He remembers that I was working for the Park Service. This would have been 73. And he was working as a seasonal, and I did some environmental ed and interpretive training for, I was working in a regional office, and he was working at North Cascades National Park. So he remembers meeting me when I was training summer employees. And I remember him from graduate school in 1980 when we were both at Western Washington University, and he had already been there a year, and I was just starting grad school, having worked for the Park Service for nearly 10 years. So I had to quit the Park Service to go to grad school, and was very lucky afterwards to be able to get back in after some non-Park Service work that I really didn't want to do very much. So I lucked out and got back into the Park Service.
Well, I asked Alan, do you have any particular habits that he doesn't understand that might have come from Fiji, like sitting on the floor and drinking out of bowls?
I don't sit on the floor and drink out of bowls, although I don't even know whether I could sit on the floor very much. I drink a lot of tea, and I'm pretty convinced that that started in Fiji because we had tea like mid-morning and mid-afternoon every day. Some of our older students would make tea for us, and some of them could do it wonderfully, and others got chided because they didn't do so well.
It was part of the British Commonwealth at that time. It's now an independent republic.
Right, it became independent while I was there.
Oh, it did?
It did.
Do you recall what that was like?
Oh, I do. It was a very exciting time. And I'm sorry for the troubles that have come since, but at the time it was... Nandi had some very big celebrations, and I went to some of the cultural dances and other things that they were doing to celebrate both the Fijian culture and the Indian culture. It was a very exciting time in Fiji.
Wow.
So I'm sorry that things are not as good now as they were then, but at that time it was...
So Peace Corps also has people that are retired. Would you ever consider going back?
Well, I might have 10 years ago, but not now.
Not now.
My body doesn't work as well as it used to work. So,
well, what advice would you have for anybody else that's interested in joining the Peace Corps?
Well, you know, I have very dear friends that live out in Joyce, and their granddaughter had heard about the Peace Corps, and they had me talk with her. So I told her that I didn't think I could tell her very much now because things in our whole world have changed so much. The fact that you can call all the way around the world on a little handheld phone is so different from the experience that I had. And I didn't live in a village where, and I don't know now whether Peace Corps volunteers in Fiji anyway live in villages or whether they're all in the cities. I was a city person, so I didn't have, in a sense, the full experience. I did go to one Fijian wedding in the mountains, and that was quite exciting. But for the most part, I was in a city.
Mm-hmm.
But I now treasure the experience of being really immersed in the culture there. And I fear that Peace Corps people now would have to work at that. That they might, because we have so many gadgets now that keep us, tied to our culture, is harder to
go native.
Go native or experience a culture that is different from ours, or we are so dependent on our gadgets now that it would be harder. It was easier then, I think.
Yeah, and I'm sure TV has transformed them into something else, too.
Yeah.
So I think we were very lucky to go when we did.
I am too. I'm very sure we're lucky.
Well, Pat, it's been delightful talking to you. Any final thoughts?
No, I think the influences for me were realizing how much I got out of the Peace Corps experience, no matter whether the government wanted other people to benefit from the Americans being there. For me, it was not that. It was how much benefit I got. And I think something that influenced my life tremendously in retrospect is that while I was there, a person from Fiji One, whom I didn't know, or before I was there, he went to Fiji and was drafted and forced to go to Vietnam and was killed. And of course, that was Fiji One person, but Fiji Two heard about that. And I met his parents who came to Fiji to find out why he had loved Fiji so much. That has had an enormous impression on me all of my life, to work for non-proliferation of weapons, of non-nuclear stuff, of being anti-war, because I felt like his life could have done so much more if he had stayed in Fiji and not gone and been killed in Vietnam.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So,
why do you think he loved Fiji so much?
Well, the people. I mean, it makes me cry to think about it. The people were very loving then. They welcomed us. They forgave our foolishness, our mistakes. You know, it was a one-on-one or a community event that was wonderful.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Well, I think we've come to the end.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pat. It's been very nice talking with you. We'll look forward to seeing this posted on
Kennedy
Library.
Thank you very much, Jack.
Nisan Bula. Namaste.
Namaste.